Flute's Journey, The Life of a Wood Thrush. On a still, starry fall evening, if you listen carefully, you may hear the calls of hundreds of songbirds as they fly overhead on their journey south to the tropical forests. Again in the spring, you may hear them returning to the cool woodlands of the north. There, in small young hardwood trees such as beech, holly, dogwood, and tulip poplar, wood thrushes sing their pure, powerful melody and also face many dangers. This is the story of one wood thrush who depends upon the tropical forest in Monteverde, Costa Rica, on the Belt Woods, a forest in Maryland, and many places in between. Four lovely turquoise eggs lay in a nest in a small dogwood tree in a forest in Maryland. Inside the eggs, baby wood thrushes grew until one day in May they began to peck. Each pecked until it broke its eggshell and emerged into the world. The hungry wood thrush chicks let out shrill cries. Their parents flew back and forth all day, bringing meals of insects and worms. In 3 days, the chicks' eyes opened. Gray pin feathers covered their pink and gray skin. They beat their wings to strengthen them. 10 days after hatching, the chicks hopped to the edge of their nest and out onto the branches of the dogwood tree. They tried out their wings, fluttering from branch to branch. They had left the nest. They had fledged. Deep in the Belt Woods, the young wood thrushes were safe from most dangers. Cats and raccoons would not bother them here, but they kept alert for hawks, black snakes, foxes, and people. 2 children came to watch them every day. They named the bold young wood thrush Flute, for they knew that when he grew up, he would sing as beautifully as his father, and his song would echo through the forest like the clear, sweet music of a flute. For 3 weeks after he had fledged, Flute's parents continued to feed him, but by July they expected him to take care of himself. September came and a cool breeze ruffled Flute's feathers. The shorter days and dwindling light gave the birds the urge for going. They ate many berries and insects to store up fat, energy, for the long flight ahead. Then one evening, Flute and many other wood thrushes lifted up from the forest and took to the air. The stream of songbirds flew south, joined along the way by other streams, until a river of migrating birds traveled together through the night, thousands of feet above the ground, protected from hawks by the darkness. As morning light made the birds visible to predators, they flew down to find cover and food. Flute ate spicebush and dogwood berries and rested for 3 days and nights, and then, under cover of darkness, continued on his long journey. Sometimes food was hard to find. Where once there had been a forest, now there was only paved roads and houses. Once he found a spicebush grove planted around a school by children. He flew down and fed to his heart's content. On an island off the coast of Texas, Flute joined throngs of other birds. One night they all took off together. Flute flew for 20 hours straight, for 600 miles, until he arrived in Mexico. Many other birds stopped there to spend the winter, but Flute continued south to the Monteverde rainforest in Costa Rica. There he joined flocks of tropical birds, and there was food enough for them all. After several days, Flute found a tree and claimed it as his own. He made sounds to warn other wood thrushes to keep away from his tree. As snow fell in the cold north, Flute was warm and dry in this southern forest. He tossed dry leaves to find the tasty insects underneath. Each afternoon he visited a bird bath at the edge of the forest preserve. This forest was a Bosque Eterno de los Niños, the eternal forest of the children. It had been preserved by children all over the world. Once another wood thrush came to Flute's forest and tried to chase him away from the tree he had claimed, but he was not able to drive Flute away, for Flute was bold and able to defend his winter territory. In the north, longer days heralded spring's arrival. Flute felt an urge to return to the Maryland forest. So one day in March, with hundreds of other birds, he took to the sky. He flew across the Gulf of Mexico, rested in Texas, and headed north. Plants and flowers responding to the increased light were opening their buds after a winter's dormancy. Caterpillar eggs hatched, and the larvae began to eat the tender young leaves. Insects came out. The migrating birds followed the leafing out of the trees and plants and ate caterpillars, grubs, and other insects along their way. In South Carolina, as Flute foraged on the edge of a clear cut, a hawk swooped toward him. Flute flew up only seconds before the hawk's sharp talons hit the ground. In North Carolina, Flute fed on beetles, snails, slugs, and spiders. at the edge of a green lawn. But chemicals sprayed on the lawn had washed into the leaves and onto the insects that hid under them. That night, when it came time to fly, Flute could not lift his wings. Instead, he sat shivering on the forest floor throughout the night and the next day. It was not until the following night that Flute felt well enough to eat again and began gaining back his strength. He noticed a sudden movement in the underbrush, and a cat pounced. Flute burst into the air just in time, and the cat caught only tail feathers. Flute arrived in the Belt Woods in late April and was confused. Many of the landmarks he knew were gone. Most of the forest along one side of Belt Woods had been cut down, and many homes were being built. A road snaked through a new development. Flute was chased away from several trees before he found a nesting site in a small tulip poplar. He sat erect and sang the wonderful notes of his song and ended in a trill. The powerful, pure melody vibrated like a bell. It rose and fell, swelled and died away until night had fallen. It was the most beautiful sound in the forest. Flute was singing to attract a mate, and soon she appeared. The children named her Feather. Flute and Feather fed together, and then with weeds, grass, leaves, mud, and fine rootlets, they built a nest in the tulip poplar sapling. Several days later, it held 3 blue eggs. As Flute and Feather flew in and out of the tree, a female cowbird watched. She waited until both wood thrushes were away. Then she stole one of their eggs and replaced it with her own white egg with brown speckles. Even though it looked different, Flute and Feather did not notice, and 11 days later, a gray chick emerged from the brown speckled egg. The next day, 3 wood thrush chicks hatched from the turquoise eggs. In the following days, the cowbird chick cheeped loudest and got more food. 2 of the wood thrushes grew and fledged, but one was too weak because the loud cowbird chick had stolen its food. Flute's nestlings grew and soon were old enough to care for themselves. The young cowbird flew off to join a flock of cowbirds that lived in the lawns around the forest. Every day, the children visited the Belt Woods and watched Flute, Feather, and their brood. They listened, enchanted, as Flute's haunting, flute-like music rose and fell, swelled and died away, harmonizing with the songs of the ovenbirds and the vireos, the chattering of chipmunks, and the breeze whispering through the leaves of the summer forest. When the days grew shorter and cooler again, the children waved goodbye as Flute and his family left on their journey south. They hoped that the wood thrushes would make it safely back to the Belt Woods the next spring, and for many springs to come.